Hi, everybody. This is Brooke Dean.
And I'm Farrah Joseph, and we are single moms doing the most. And today has been the most.
Most. Oh, we like for these to be evergreen, but today is April 20th. The verdict came down in the what's his name? Chauvin. What's his name?
Yeah, him. I don't even know
That one.
that one.
Right, the Chauvin murderer got convicted,
Right.
found guilty on all charges, and we're feeling, well, we have it's a mixed bag, and we're not going to spend too much time on it because we're still processing everything. I just know I felt like I could breathe for a second, like when I heard the verdict, I just wanted to like cry and hug my son. That's all I wanted to do.
I don't know. I think for me, it's just that it's not second nature to us to like expect justice to be served. So I think a lot of us is while we're relieved, because black folks would have burned all of America down. So I think
Tell me about
we're all processing where it's like, okay, cool, verdict came out. It's guilty as it should have been, as it should be, as it was from day one. Why it took forever, whatever. But yeah, my mind is just like,
why this was even a trial
only in America.
is baffling. It's like murder caught on video.
In America, honey.
And
Only.
we still have to have a trial to verify what we see with our own eyes.
Own eyes. Only in America can you like literally film a murder and still have a whole defense telling you what you saw was not what you saw. Woo! Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy, but we'll take it for today,
Right. We'll take
keeping his family
yes.
and his friends in prayer and stuff.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
we can move on.
We've had quite an interesting month or two at work. Been a lot of changes and a lot of pressure where it's like to the point Brooke and I will hit each other up like I'm about to lose my mind. And we kind of had to have a come to Jesus moment, kind of ground ourselves like, okay, let's recognize this as what it really is. We're about to level up. Things are shifting, changes are happening. And anytime that pressure is mounting, it's kind of like a litmus test. Are you going to buckle or are you going to see this as the opportunity that it is and move forward? And as single moms, that's not always easy because you want to, break the barriers at work. You want to break those glass ceilings, but you're juggling a child, you're juggling school, you're juggling cooking, cleaning, doctor's appointments, you're juggling all these things. But at the same time, you still want to be boss babe at work. So these last couple of months, we have been in that pressure cooker and it's been rough. But the beauty of it is we have each other to bounce back and forth on. At least we have that.
Oh, I've been bouncing all right. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's be careful what you ask for, because now it's being given to me, more responsibility, higher profile, higher visibility projects, and I'm like, oh no, I gotta actually do the thing now. And I feel like, and I was telling my sister the other day, like I feel like I have this imposter syndrome going on, where it's like capable of doing these things. Like, am I projecting that I'm more capable than I am? And so, and I just got in this moment where I was like, what if I can't do this? What if it's too much? What if I can't do it? And she said to me, if God didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't give it to you. And if you ask for it, he wants to give it to you, and he won't give you anything that you can't handle. So that made me feel better. And obviously, it's an opportunity for me to rise to the occasion. And where change is happening, growth is possible. So I'm just trying to look at it that way. But it gets overwhelming, like you said, when you're trying to be this rock star at work. What's gonna suffer? Because then it's like I can be a rock star at work and be an okay mom, or I can be a rock star mom and just be okay at work. I'm trying to figure out how I can be both, and it gets overwhelming sometimes because I feel like something has to give. And what it's been is I'll spend time with Jackson, be present with him for a while, and then when he goes to sleep, I log back into work. And that is getting to be unsustainable because I gotta sleep at some point. I gotta reset at some point. So my question to everybody that's doing it, because I'm surrounded by dope women who are mothers, who are entrepreneurs. So I know it can be done. Maybe I need to invest in like a coach or something, because like you and I both know these women. We surround ourselves by these women on purpose. So we know what circles we run in and we know it can be done. So now I just need to figure out how I'm going to level up and surpass even what I think I'm capable of and still maintain my sanity, my relationship with my son, still be present for him. My house doesn't fall apart. My cats get fed. I'm still a good daughter, sister, auntie.
All the things.
How? Prayer is one thing, but how else? I'm curious. I need the boss moms to school me on some things, because it's about to get real. It's already getting really real,
It definitely is.
but in a good way.
Like I had to, like I literally went on a walk and was like boohooing my eyes out, like puffy. And I had like the cap down so that, people passing by wouldn't see. But it was just one of those when you hit your limit, when you hit that brick wall where it's like you know what's on the other side. So it's just a matter of you passing and breaking down that brick wall. But I found that I was trying to do it in my own capacity, that, my dream job was starting to become a nightmare. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, I don't like that feeling, So I had to just lay it all out. I laid it all out. I laid out the troubling areas, the areas where it's contention, the areas where it's stressful, the areas where I feel like I'm being stifled, the area where I feel like I'm being expected to excel without knowing what I'm supposed to be doing. So it was just a lot on my mind. And I just was like, you know what? I don't want to carry this no more. Here you go. You can carry this, God. You can have it all. You can have it all because you have brought me this far. You had my name mentioned in a meeting that I had no idea about to get me this job. So I know you're not going to let me fail. So I know I'm placed here. I know I'm purposed here. And I just had to reconnect with that, realign myself with his promises for me. And, I wake up a little earlier every day. Today, I think I woke up at like 6:30. I'm waking up a little earlier every day. Do a morning walk where I just meditate and listen to, music, and then come back, shower, get the kid ready, and I log in. And then in the afternoon, I go for another walk, clear my mind, rethink of the day, make my list of to-dos for work, because that list is kind of growing. It's growing. It's like every day. It's like every day.
I'll never get to that list. I make a list every day. I can have a to-do list of 20 things every day, five of them.
No, but I feel like even the to-do list that I had, it's growing. So I feel like I'd never make a dent, because it's like the to-do list just keeps growing. And every time I open up my email, it's like, okay, one more thing to add to the list. But like you said, we act
That's
to.
because our job is reactive.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And, like you said, we act for these things, and it's not, I don't want to say be careful what you wish for, because you could wish all you want. If it's not for you, it's not going to come to you. Just like you could wish for somebody else's man. That's not in God's plan. That's not God's plan.
It better not be.
So
I got the devil written all over it.
right. You can wish for all the things that you want, but when it's something that is aligned with God's purpose for your life, you are going to feel that pressure. And if you're not feeling that pressure, you need to reprioritize. You re really need to think about it, because you're going to feel the pressure. It's no matter what, leveling up requires pressure, requires you coming in contact with people you don't want to, requires you to be exposed in ways you're not comfortable. It places you in an uncomfortable position. So if you're still comfortable as you're trying to level up, baby girl, you're not leveling up. You're staying stagnant. So until you realize that pressure is mounting for a good reason, is pulling out the character, is pulling out your strengths. It's showing you where you're weak. It's showing you where you need to strengthen. It's showing you the things that you need to remove and declutter so that you can actually do things that you want to say. So if you're looking to level up as a single mom, there's going to be pressure, and it's going to come from all fronts. If you're dating, something's got to give. Something is definitely got to give. And we're trying to figure out how to do it all. How how to have the professional level up, how to keep the kid in the house and the family, and how to have a social life, which, you know, by the day seems to be diminishing, but we'll talk about that another time. It's not easy, but we act to be boss bays. What was it, 2019, before Corona shut us down? We were talking about how we're going to be third, we're going to be in the streets, we're going to be hot, we're going to be getting promotions left and right. And then 2020 happened. Everyone's like, skrr, pause. So now we're getting those things that we said in 2019. It's just happening in 2021. So there's that.
I think it took 2020 for these things to happen, because I think people are looking now to see how you rise to the occasion and still get your work done in Excel during a pandemic, during challenging times. And I would have never seen that coming, but this past year and the beginning of this year, it's been stressful. It's been pressure, like you said, but my projects, high profile projects were released at this time being done. And it was like, oh, this is the challenge that's happening. This is what we got to do to make it, to take it to the next level. We did it. We did that under the pressure of COVID, quarantine and homeschool and sickness and death and reorganizations and things. So that's the pressure that we had to be under in order to show. And maybe that's what they see. And I'm the one that needs to see it now. Like, I can say it and feel it and know it, but now it's like, oh, this is the fruit of my labor. So it's how do you adapt? And that's what I'm trying to figure out now. And it's scary. I'm scared. Like, I really was like, I'm scared. But at the same time, I feel like I'm ready.
Yeah.
Because all this other stuff prepared me for that.
Exactly. You can be scared. You just got to do it afraid. You just do it afraid anyway. You can be scared all day long, but don't let that fear stop you from persevering and pushing forward and going after those things that you said. Because if you don't, you'll be kicking yourself really, really hard. Like, dang, I really let this go because of fear. Nah, you worked your butt off for the past 5 years to get to this level. So I would be mad at you. Forget you. Me and Nicole, we'd both be jumping. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, I would be mad at myself. Yeah, I know I have to do it. I know I have to. I know I worked hard enough to get here, especially when I think about the part that were like really scary and unknown and stuff. Like, and I know my prayers work, so I shouldn't be afraid, right? Because I remember, you know, a couple teams ago at the job where I felt like nothing is working, nobody's on my side, I don't know what's going on. I just felt like there were like little clicks and things that just weren't. And I had the same feeling like you, like, I know this is, I prayed for this job. Like, I remember when I applied for this job, it was June and they didn't call me till the end of August. And I was on my last, like, I can't take it anymore. And when I got that call, I went through the most grueling interview process I'd ever gone through in my life. And when I got it, I was like, it's meant to have. So when it started getting rocky and a year and a half went by and, you know, I said this prayer, like, if whoever's against me or something is not right, just move it out of my way. Mm-hmm. That's all I asked for. Just move it out of my way. Mm-hmm. Farrah, I lied to you not. When I went to work the next morning, my entire department was gone except me. I was like, okay, God, I ain't mean it like that. I ain't mean like that. But you know what?
That's what that
worked. And the crazy thing about it was my previous supervisor, I had been not stalking her per se, but pursuing her as a mentor. Mm-hmm. And in that change, when the old department got let go, she became my new boss. Mm-hmm. So she by default became a mentor.
Yeah.
By them putting me under her, and I thrived under her.
Yeah.
So I feel like every prayer that I prayed, it could not have happened no better than if I had orchestrated it myself. Cause I was just like, oh, and this is my new boss? And this is my new, wait, what? Like, it was perfect. When I look back over my career, that has always been the case. When I'm at my wit's end, when I can't take it anymore, whatever, I saw something in the paper like, oh, they want a program coordinator at the WB. I know somebody that works there. My mentor, who is my uncle's best friend, who also is a Syracuse alum, I made a phone call. He's like, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. He called me back 3 minutes later, like, this woman is expecting your call. I called her that day. Interview was set up the next day. I started work that following Monday. Just like that. And just like that, my TV career has started. And then when I was done with that, it was like God was placing me in all these different positions to get the things that I asked for, like literally said out of my mouth that I wanted.
Yeah.
And he gave it to me. So when my sister said that to me, it like resonated with me, because every time I have literally spoken out loud, God was like, oh, that's what you want? Let me give it to you. Because she that he wants to give you your heart's desire. And now when I look back on it, because there were some jobs I had, I didn't have no business. I was just like, ooh, I'm gonna fake it till I make it, I'm gonna get there. Yeah, and of course you got to be qualified and do the thing. But just when I think about how everything, even when I got laid off, it was always a blessing.
Yeah,
because I got laid off at MSNBC, and I'm worried thinking all this stuff, and they were like, oh, well, we'll put you on layoff status. And I'm thinking that's a bad thing, child. They were like, we'll pay you a year's salary, we'll pay for you to go to school for a year, and your benefits for a year. I like okay that. You should have led with that. Because it sounds like a bad thing and it can be humbling. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, wait. And that was like one of the best years of my life. I got a screenwriting certificate. I learned French, helped my mom buy a house. And like literally the day the benefits were over, I had started at A&E and their benefits kicked in the very next day. Like, again, it was seamless. I couldn't have made it any better. Mm-hmm. And even when I got laid off from A&E after 12 years, I went through a period of time after divorce, learning or separation. Divorce hadn't even happened yet. Learning to be a single mom of a 2-year-old, all these things just stress. And through it all, I was able to keep my house, keep him in daycare, mm-hmm. have my savings. And I had to sit my behind still for a year.
That's what required.
Not thinking that that's what I needed to do, because you're in this survival mode. Like, I'm a single mom. I got to take care of this kid. I got to do all the things. And God was like, sis, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll let you know when you're ready.
It's required. Sometimes, you know, even with me, before I started Audible, you know, the job that I was at, and it was one of those, just like you, it was one of those, I got the call. I didn't even apply for the job. Let's start with that. I got the call and I was just like, what is this? Mm-hmm. What? Oh, sure. I'll go for an interview. Left the interview. And she was like, you basically have the job, but I just have to wait for my director to come back to sign up on the paperwork. But the job is yours. I was like, oh, I didn't really mean it, but okay. Okay. So, and I was miserable there, but I was miserable not because of the type of work. I was miserable because of the people.
Right.
You know, I came in, and because I picked up quickly and people were like, you know, I guess threatened by that I moved quickly, mm-hmm. I learned things quickly and picked it up and was putting projects together quickly. And, you know, had a whole little clique of girls, like they were straight mean girling me in there. And it was so funny when COVID happened and the layoffs were happening, they got laid off long before I did. So layoffs literally started happening the second week after COVID, after lockdown, because the jobs that we had, they were banks and people weren't going into banks and construction sites were shutting down. So we were, you know, the amount of people needed was no longer needed. So I remember I was talking to a friend of mine and he was like, you have to strategize. I was like, strategize what? I was like, I get laid off. He was like, no, don't take it so nonchalantly. I was like, okay. So I got off the phone with him and I was talking. I was just reading. And God was like, call your boss and tell her you're totally fine with her cutting your hours to make room for other people. I was like, excuse you. Do what now? Call your boss and tell her you're totally okay with her cutting your hours to make room for other people. I was like, okay. I called her. I wrote her the email. And I was just like, hey, trust me. I know what's going on. I'm more than happy to cut back on my hours so you can, you know, keep more headcount. And she wrote me back, I'm calling you right now. And she called me and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. Thank you so much. And, you know, reduce my hours. And I think because of that, because I was so willing to follow that voice, I was able to stay there 3 months longer than people who started before me. Senior management was laid off before I was. And I remember having a conversation where she was like, nope, right now we're scaling back and we want to keep people who are good and who are actually doing their job. And I was like, oh, slight shade. Uh-oh. Right. So then when the layoff finally did come, I wasn't mad about it. I wasn't, you know, distraught about it. I was like, okay, it is what it is. And I went about fixing my whole house. But then the pressure started mounting where I was looking at the bills. I was looking at the bank account and I was like, okay, this is my house money. I don't want to keep dipping into this house money. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do? And then the call for Audible came. I was like, say what? Audible that I interviewed for back in February, mm-hmm. 20, like right at the top of 2021. And you're coming back to me now in August, right when my unemployment, like we have to like recertify for all that. So that's right when it ended and I had to go through the next round of redoing the paperwork, the call for Audible came. So again, we say the things that we want in our hearts, and sometimes it comes out so simple. And I think that's the beauty of it. When you talk to God with like the simplistic, very simple, simple, true desires and wants and needs, he fulfills them, because you're not coming from a place of arrogance. You're not coming from a place of needy. You're not coming from a place of begging. You're coming from a place of sincerity. He rises to meet you in those acts. When you ask for something genuine, he rises to meet you there, because he's like, okay, you're actually asking me something that is part of my plan for your life that's going to push you to the next level. So when that call for Audible came, I was as giddy as what? I was giddy. And Brooke was like, we gonna celebrate. I was like, girl, we locked down. We can't celebrate nothing. Lockdown just happened. Yeah. So it's like, we couldn't even
celebrate in our own way.
Right. Like, we didn't even really celebrate that win. So I think to see where we both started at the beginning of the year to where we are now, you know, the things that we asked for are happening. They're just not happening as we want them to. There's going to be pressure. There's definitely going to be pressure. If you are not feeling any kind of pressure while you are leveling up, you are doing it wrong, because there's going to be pressure. It's just unavoidable. It's going to happen, because something got it. It's like, have to be pruned. You have to be pruned. Yeah, you're going to be uncomfortable. You have to be pruned. You have to be stripped of, you know, things you thought you knew, ways that, you know, old ways you have to be pruned, so that when you get to that next level, you're a fresh slate, so that you can get the mentality that you need to do this job that you're not being asked to do.
Definitely being stretched.
Yeah.
But it's, I just can't, you know, even like today, I was feeling it a little bit. And then I started to realize, like, I can control how I want this to go to a degree. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I get asked questions like, do you need more time? My old me would have been like, no, I could do it. Cause I'm used to being stretched. I'm used to being under pressure and things. But now I need to look at it like, what am I going to do to make it easier for me? Not that I say I want it to be easy, but my sister always told me, like, pray for ease, right? Mm-hmm. So when somebody gives me an opportunity for ease, like it was asked today, like, do you need another day to do this? Yes,
I do.
That would help me. I do. And it was given just like that. And I was like, oh, that's all I had to do was ask or speak up or say. I'm learning that I do, my voice has a power behind it that's now, like, if you're going to ask me to level up, I got to own that myself and come different in the room and come different with my voice and come different and say certain things. And even if I'm not believing it in that moment, I'm going to make you believe that I believe it until I do. So I feel like my posture is different in meetings. I feel like it's an opportunity now for me to shine. So absolutely. Do it. Because I got used to playing small a little bit, because you don't feel like
you deserve it.
I can do it. But now I'm like, people see me.
Absolutely.
People see me. So, oh, I guess I better be seen that and own that. And even if I'm shaking in my boots the whole time I'm talking, the whole time I'm doing whatever, I'm still doing it. And I don't know if that's what all these women that I admire do, but I know they do it scared. I know they say jump. I know they say speak it into existence, rise up, you know, call me higher, because that's the only way I'm going to grow, right? And so that's what I'm doing. And I have to look at it through all aspects of my life. Ask for what I need. If that means you need to come pick your son up, do it. If that means I need sleep, if that means I got to tell people, no, I'm not staying on the phone till 2 o'clock in the morning. If that means I got to not visit friends as much, or go to bed earlier, or insist that the time that I do have to work out is just for me and nothing is, you got to level up in all areas of your life, right? To meet the expectation somewhere else. So we'll do it. I know I'll level up as a mom, because I have to, because that's what I've been doing. As a single mom, that comes
with the territory.
That comes with the territory, right? So being a single mom almost prepared me for this thing that I was asking for, right? Because I have to have things in order to even get them. So, I mean, I say all that to say, like, leveling up, I think, is hard whether you're a single mom or not, but it just presents different mm-hmm. challenges, right? I think a lot of times women and men,
more so women,
but this particularly, you know, speaks to women in a corporate setting. And we don't get the same, even like today in the meeting. Remember, somebody asked the question and I said, do you mean this? And they were like, no. And then when old boy said it, they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, wait.
I just say the same thing. And I'm like,
I'm messaging Farrah on the side, like, does it sound better when he says it? Like, how? I literally just said the same thing that he did. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So we already get that as women in the workplace. So we already feel like we got to do it higher. And then when you're a mom, whether married or single or whatever, people look at you differently because they feel like you can't commit the same hours and time as your male counterparts because they got a wife at home taking care of the situation. Or as a woman who doesn't have children can stay up all night and work on the things and be more available. And it's like, no, I can still set boundaries as a parent and still excel at my job at the same time, right? But a lot of times we feel like we have to sacrifice our dreams and our wants and being a boss lady because we're a mom, because we got to be a boss there. Mm-hmm. And you can be both.
Absolutely.
Because we see it all the time, you know? So I just got to get out my own way in my own head and just do what I've been doing and know that I can, and just pray for ease and know that it wouldn't come to me if God didn't want me to have it. So,
and it wouldn't come, not that, but it wouldn't come to you if God didn't think you were ready. Cause there are a lot of things mm-hmm. that we know is ours, but you have to be ready. And there, I know for a fact, there are certain things that I've gotten in my life later on that had I gotten them earlier, it would have either broken mm-hmm. or I would have been crap at it. So, you know, there's a preparedness that also comes with God giving you your things. That's why it says in his timing. It's not that he didn't
need
prayer. It's not that he doesn't see you. It's not that he, you know, he's ignoring your desires. It's a simple fact that you might not be ready to have it. You might not be ready to handle a $500 million, multi-million dollar company. You might not have the character to do things just yet. So he's got to build that out of you. And once he feels, okay, she's there, he gives it to you. So, you know, sometimes it's not just not just God didn't hear me. Sometimes it's you're not ready, and you have to be willing to accept that fact and do the work to get ready. You have to be able to see that and accept the fact that, okay, I know what I want.
Right.
And it's not this imposter syndrome. It's knowing, am I actually ready for these things that I'm asking for? So God knows you're ready now. He sees you're ready. And me, he's like, girl, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't you worry about all these changes that are happening. I placed you here. Mm-hmm. I got you covered. I even had a dream the other night. I'll tell you that offline. I had a dream the other night. So I'm still a little more at ease. I'm a little more like, heart is not, mm-hmm. you know, as fast as it was, but it's all in his timing. Once you are ready, when he sees you're ready, mm-hmm. doors will bust open.
Right.
You might be like, what is happening? And he's like, no,
right.
You're ready.
Right.
Walk on through.
Right. I take it to mean like the answer is not no. It's just not yet.
What?
Mm-hmm. And they say if God is making you wait, then what he has in store for you is greater than what you even imagine. Because like I was telling you, when I was laid off, I was getting interviews, no problem. But I was never getting the job. And I'm just like, what's going on? But my spirit wasn't right. And it wasn't until I let go of everything and asked for forgiveness for me, for him, for everybody. Mm-hmm. The call came the next day. It was like God said, now you're ready. So when I had that 5 hour long, 6 hour long interview, it was nothing mm-hmm. because I had spent the whole year going through it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was, because then I was like, why am I not? Because like I said, I applied for the job in June 6th. I remember it like nothing. Audible called me August 24th. And I was like, if y'all needed somebody yesterday, why are you just waiting? But God was like, you weren't ready. Because if they had called me in June, I would not have gotten that job because I would not have been able to go through a 6 hour interview and all that stuff because my spirit wasn't right. My heart wasn't right. My mental wasn't right. But by the time I prayed that prayer in August, I was ready. I let it all go. And I got the call the next day. It was like, God was like, ting, now you're ready. And from August 24th, I started October 10th. Because even when I got the job, they asked me like, do you need some time? You want to relax and chill before you start working? Because it was almost like they were saying, because we're going to throw you in the fire when you get here. So you might as well take a break. They gave me the job September, but I started October 10th because I was like, you know what? Yeah, let me take some time to myself because I know it's going to require this of me. Yeah. So I'm giving myself the same grace with this one. You know what I mean? So if somebody asked me, do I need an extra day, an extra week or something? Because I know I'm going to need it to do the things that you called me to do, you know? So yeah, the answer wasn't no, it was just not now. And they put me under the right person to learn the right things, to excel under the right projects, to have the right visibility. She did what she was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do. And now we about to kill it. So
exactly.
That's what we're going to do.
And that's the thing. That, and I think, like you said earlier, we surround ourselves and align ourselves with women who are killing it, who are doing it, but who are also not afraid to come back and pull somebody forward. That's, I think that's what I can say of all of the women that we know. We can call anybody and say, hey, this is what I need. And they will pull it. They will pull us forward. They will do what they know. They will call who they know. They will have a conversation about who they know to help. And we have conversations where we're crying or we're praying for each other or we're talking about the babies and we're talking about everything. So you have to also, in leveling up, align yourself with the right people. You have to align yourself with the right people when it's time to level up. You can't be dealing with folk who are, you know, who are going to weigh you down. You want to level up, you're going to feel the pressure. Do the work required. It's going to be a waiting period. It's not no, it's not yet. Know the difference. Do the work required to get you to the yes. Surround yourself with proper and, you know, edifying groups of women who will take you there, who will push you there. Some, you know, there are friends who see things in you that you don't see yet. And sometimes you're like, the imposter syndrome is like, your friends already see what you could be. Now you just have to see it. So align yourself with women who will do that. And I think the last is have the confidence and the humbleness to go before God and speak those things faithfully that you want. Don't be scared. He's going to give it to you. Just believe. He is definitely going to give it to you. But you have to be ready and willing to do the work. So I think those are my four when it's time to level up.
Yeah.
Those are my four things.
I agree. I don't think I could add anything to it.
So we hope this helped, you know, especially our single mamas out there, our single boss babes who are doing it, who are doing all of the things, all to just realize you're not alone. There are plenty of millionaire single moms. You could be one too. Just know what you're asking and be yourself. Be your true self.
Thanks for listening
to another episode of Single Moms Doing the Most. I'm Farrah Joseph.
I'm Brooke Dean. We'll see you next week.